Live from WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
We have cloudy skies this noon hour across parts of the area. We have some showers on the way this evening. I'll walk you through the timeline and how much rain we'll see.
Wake County school officials are searching for the people who vandalized several buses and part of Garner Magnet High School. Reaction from students ahead.
Plus, a day to honor those who helped save a deputy's life. We were there as the sheriff celebrated those first responders. We begin this noon with a code red lockdown at a school in Lillington.
Michelle McConkey is in the WRAL Live Center with what we've learned in the past 30 minutes. Michelle.
Guys, we're learning that there is a code red lockdown at Star Academy in Lillington. It is a high school in the Harnett County School District. The school says right now they are investigating a situation involving a weapon on campus there. And for safety precautions, the school is on a code red lockdown. That is all the information we have right now. We do have a reporter on the way to the scene. As soon as we get more information, we will update you on air and online.
Michelle, thanks. Cloudy skies linger through this afternoon, and this evening, a cold front swings through. A few showers are likely after the evening commute.
Elizabeth Gardner is in the WRAL Severe Weather Center with a look at the timeline and how much rain we could see.
This is going to be fairly light, and it won't start up until really past sunset. We do have some cloud cover out there right now. It's varying amounts because there for a while, the sun was out in a few spots, but we started to see those clouds filling in some places. So it'll be a mix of sun and clouds this afternoon. Right now, dual Doppler 5000 radar is dry, but we did have a few light showers this morning up near the Virginia line. All these showers will develop back to our west and move in across the area this evening. We take a look at Futurecast, kicking things off right here at noon. Notice as we go through the afternoon, there's just a tiny shower that may pop up here and there, and definitely some thin spots in the clouds as well as we get through the afternoon. And then we begin to see the line of showers developing. This is not going to be severe. I'm not likely to see very much heavy rain with this, but by 7 o'clock, we're seeing some showers in our western counties. We see another wave that rolls through, continuing around 9, and then most of this should be over by around midnight or so, and we'll begin to see some clearing. Ahead of this front and even behind it, we'll see some gusty winds up to 25, 30 miles per hour, especially this evening. You can see how those steady winds go up to around 15 miles per hour with the passage of the front. Right now, temperatures are on the cool side, mid-50s in the north, around 60 in the triangle, and mid-60s down south. We'll climb this afternoon up into the mid-60s, and of course, we'll end up with the chance of a shower, maybe even an isolated thunderstorm this evening. After that, we're dry for a while, but both Thursday and Friday look wet. We'll walk through the timeline for the rain toward the end of the week coming up.
Thanks, Elizabeth. New at noon, we've learned parts of Garnet Magnet High School and at least four of its buses have been vandalized. We have limited information at this time, but WRAL's Destiny Patterson is there working to learn more. Destiny, good afternoon. What can you tell us so far?
Hey, Jeff. So if you look behind me, you can kind of see that there is what appears to be spray painting on these buses as well as on the other side of the building. Now, I did reach out to Garner PD to see if we could get more information because we're told that they will be in charge of this investigation, but we haven't heard anything back yet. I did speak, however, to several people nearby, including students and a former teacher who say they were both surprised and disappointed to hear that there was vandalism that happened at the school.
I was
and
baffled.
You saw it, right?
Yes, yeah. I saw it. I was baffled. I'm like, what in the world is happening?
Yeah. I saw it this morning, too, when I was outside in my class. It was all over the walls and then all over windows and a door, too, on that side. So
I worked there. We didn't have all that kind of stuff going on, you know what I'm saying? But times have changed. But then again, like I say, it starts at home. It starts with the word of God.
Now, we reached out to the school district spokesperson, and she says that they are aware of the situation, but they don't have any further information at this time. I'll continue to work to figure out how this happened and what the repercussions will be. Destiny Patterson, WRAL News, Garner.
All right, Destiny, thank you for that update.
happening right now in the WREL Live Center. We want to take you live out to the scene of a car crash. This is Rock Quarry Road and Crosslink Drive. Details are limited, but we do have a photographer on scene. You can see a lot of crime scene tape. There is a fire truck there. Raleigh Police Department is also there on scene. We're working to gather who is in that car, who was hurt, the ages, the names, anything we can get. Details are very limited, but right now we can tell you a silver Saturn appears to have crashed right into a tree off Rock Quarry Road and Cross Link Drive. As soon as we get more information, we will bring that to you from the Live Center.
A man accused of causing a deadly crash near Holly Springs appeared in court this morning. This happened Saturday morning near Piney Grove Wilbon Road and Rouse Road. The Elton Mendoza Cervantes is charged with felony death by vehicle and DWI. Troopers say he drove his SUV into the wrong lane, slamming head-on into a silver Camaro, killing Richard Williams.
Crabtree Valley Mall in Raleigh reopened this morning after police responded to two weekend incidents. We spotted a big group of police cruisers at the mall yesterday with lights flashing near one of the parking decks. When we asked police about it, they told us officers responded to a disturbance at the mall. They say no one was hurt. The day before we were there at the mall when police said a man accidentally shot himself, he had been carrying a concealed weapon. The man was taken to the hospital and is expected to survive. A loud noise during the incident sent shoppers into a panic. A mother of three was trampled as people ran for cover.
So I was terrified because I was just thinking of, I didn't know where to run because I'm like, if I run out, I'm leaving my baby and my mom behind, and my daughters were in the store next door.
Wake County District Attorney Lauren Freeman says charges will depend on whether the man had a permit for the weapon.
Today, Nash County is honoring the first responders who saved the life of a deputy seriously injured in a shootout on I-95 2 years ago. WRL's Keenan Willard was inside the ceremony that wrapped up just a little over an hour ago. Keenan, what kind of message did Nash County leaders send?
Jeff, just an overwhelming thank you, an expression of gratitude. That was what we heard loud and clear in that ceremony here inside the county administration building in Nashville, as you said, ending just over an hour ago. They wanted to express their gratitude to the EMTs, the flight crews, and the responding deputies, multiple teams that came to the aid of William Tony in his hour of need. Now, today, all of those crews received meritorious service awards from Nash County as part of their response effort on that day in February 2021. Deputy William Tony was shot multiple times during a traffic stop on I-95 that day. Dash cam video shows the driver, Jared Ford, pulling a handgun from his waistband while deputies were trying to detain him to search his car. Tony was airlifted to the hospital and eventually survived, but he had to retire from the sheriff's office due to the severity of his injuries. Today, Tony tells me he has forgiven that man who's charged with nearly taking his life that day, and he still keeps in touch with some of those who came to his aid. The Nash County Sheriff calls them real life heroes.
We've got true heroes in public service that do jobs every day that are true professionals.
Now, Tony and his partner, Detective Shelby Smith, who were actually involved in that shootout 2 years ago, they were not honored today because their push for justice still continues. You'll hear from them tonight on the WREL Evening News. Jeff?
Keenan Willard live in Nash County. Keenan, thank you.
And now to the severe weather that's affecting states from the West Coast to the Plains. We begin in the central U.S., where NBC's Morgan Chesky shows us the aftermath of tornadoes.
Wild weather tearing across the central U.S. overnight, blasting the plains with a powerful and intense storm system known as a derecho, which at a minimum has a 240-mile distance of wind damage and typically causes it in one direction along a straight path. Tornadoes touching down in Oklahoma and Kansas, leaving neighborhoods in ruin and completely destroying homes, flipping cars and knocking out power to thousands of residents. Wind gusts topping 100 miles per hour, also whipping through parts of the Texas Panhandle. The National Weather Service tweeting yesterday, people in McLean should take cover now. Meanwhile, West Coasters digging out and drying off after pummeling rain and snow. The mountains in Southern California blanketed in up to 7 feet of snow in certain areas. With roads impassable, some mountain residents blaze their own trails on skis.
Never seen this much snow come down this long, this hard, since 31 years.
Torrential rainfall brought treacherous flooding.
cars stranded as the waters rushed over roads in Los Angeles. Rescuers saving victims, such as this incident captured by the Pasadena Fire Department. An RV teetering on the edge of an embankment before plunging into the Santa Clara River.
It's just scary. I'm just glad we're safe.
With tens of thousands still without power across California, Yosemite National Park will remain closed to visitors until March. And Oregon declaring a state of emergency in certain regions battling frigid temperatures. While some battled hazardous conditions not often seen, others took advantage of the rare Southern California snowfall.
That was Morgan Chesky reporting. As of early this morning, there had been 9 tornado reports, 7 in Oklahoma, the others in Kansas. No deaths have been reported. This week, the United States Supreme Court will hear arguments in the case involving President Biden's student loan forgiveness program. 6 Republican-led states challenged Biden's plan. It would forgive over $400 billion in student loan debt for millions of Americans. The challengers argue Biden does not have the power to enact such a plan. Arguments start tomorrow. We'll likely not get a decision from the court until later this summer.
Starting this week, thousands of North Carolina households will lose their SNAP benefits. That's the federal program that helps people put food on the table. Since the pandemic began, the program got extra emergency funds. Now, that ends on Wednesday. Families will get about $95 less each month on average. Some could lose as much as $250. Next at noon, dozens of migrants are dead after the boat they were in ran up on rocks off the coast of Italy. Where it set sail and how many people were on board.
Also, soccer fans in Turkey shower the field with stuffed animals during a game. The message this gesture was intended to send.
Plus, Dilbert dropped. Why hundreds of newspapers are canceling the comic strip.
Download the new WRAL streaming apps on Roku, Fire TV, Apple TV, and Android TV.
Happening right now in the WREL Live Center, we want to get back to that code red lockdown at Star Academy in Lillington. We do have Sky 5 over the scene right now. There does not appear to be any yellow crime scene tape or anything of that nature. There are cars that are parked here. We're seeing what appears to be some unmarked squad cars. We are working to confirm that. But right now, they are on a code red lockdown for what the school is saying. A weapon is on the campus. They say for safety precautions, the school is on a temporary lockdown. We are working to get more information, more details. As soon as I have that, I will bring that to you from the Live Center.
At least 61 people have died off the southern coast of Italy in a migrant shipwreck there. A wooden boat reportedly left Turkey about 4 days ago with about 150 people on board. The disaster has reopened a debate now on migration in Europe and Italy, where the recently elected right-wing government's tough new laws for migrant rescue charities have drawn criticism from the UN. The survivors are from Iran, Pakistan, and Afghanistan. Soccer fans showered a stadium in Turkey Sunday with teddy bears and other stuffed toys. This gesture was a symbol of solidarity with the children affected by the devastating earthquakes. The Turkish Super League game was paused after 4 minutes and 17 seconds to allow fans to throw the gifts onto the pitch. The earthquake first struck Turkey at 4:17 local time on February 6th. The death toll from the earthquakes in Turkey and neighboring Syria has crossed well over 50,000.
The Oscars are just 2 weeks away, but the buzz this morning is about a history-making night at the 29th Annual Screen Actors Guild Awards. David Daniel shows us what made it so special in today's Hollywood Minute.
Thank you.
Sally Field received a standing ovation and SAG's Life Achievement Award.
There is not a day that I don't feel quietly thrilled to call myself an actor.
Brendan Fraser.
The Whale star, Brendan Fraser, strengthened his hold on the Best Actor Oscar race, winning for Male Actor in a Leading Role. Like many winners, he recalled first receiving his SAG card.
It made me feel like I belonged. We're actors. We all want to belong to a tribe. And that's when I found where I belonged. And if you told that guy back then that I'd be standing right here, right now, I would not have believed you.
Jamie Lee Curtis began an unbelievable run for Everything Everywhere All at Once, winning for female actor in a supporting role.
I love actors. I love acting. I love the job we get to do. I love being a part of a crew. I love being a part of a cast.
Castmate Kihue Kwan took the baton, winning male actor in a supporting role, the first Asian male to win an individual SAG award.
To all those at home who are watching, who are struggling and waiting to be seen, please keep on going because the spotlight will one day find you.
I think if I speak, my heart will explode.
Then Michelle Yeoh took female actor in a leading role, the first Asian woman to receive a leading film acting honor.
This is not just for me. This is for every little girl that looks like me.
And Everything Everywhere ended the night winning outstanding performance by a cast in a motion picture, a cast including 94-year-old James Hong, whose career began nearly 70 years ago.
The producer said, the Asians were not good enough, and they are not box office. But look at us now, huh?
In Hollywood, I'm David Daniel.
The NAACP Image Awards also took place this past weekend. Angela Bassett took the top prize of Entertainer of the Year for Black Panther Forever. Black Panther Forever was crowned Best Motion Picture, and Abbott Elementary won Best Comedy Series. Hollywood star Will Smith also won the NAACP Image Award for Outstanding Actor in a Motion Picture for his performance in Emancipation. This marked his first award since the 2022 Oscars, in which he slapped Chris Rock on stage. Smith was not present at the ceremony to accept his award in person.
So Smith did not attend the show. There was one moment that brought people to their feet. Special guest Brittany Griner and her wife Sherelle were welcomed to the stage to a standing ovation. Griner returned to the United States after 10 months of imprisonment in Russia on a drug possession charge. She and her wife offered gratitude for their support.
We are just truly so thankful to all the people, many of whom are Black women and Black-led organizations who fought so hard to bring BG home tonight.
It feels so good to be here, especially with my beautiful, amazing wife and with all of y'all here today.
During her speech, Griner urged the return of all U.S. detainees being held abroad. According to a group that advocates for the release of Americans who are held hostage, on average, 34 Americans are wrongfully detained by foreign governments each year. Now, hearing Griner getting out there and seeing her back on the WNBA basketball court brings it all full circle just a little bit. It's really nice to see.
And she recently re-signed with her team again, Phoenix Mercury, so we'll be seeing a lot more of her. Take a look outside at the gray skies. A lot of clouds out there. It looks like it's cool, but it's actually, you know, feeling rather mild out there. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner in the WRL Severe Weather Center.
I think the cameras are a little bit misleading. There's actually a little bit of blue skies. We take a live look here at Rocky Mount and Rocky Mount Mills. It doesn't look like there's a whole lot of sun shining here at Rocky Mount Mills, but there are some holes in the clouds here and there. Our temperature is 60 degrees, which is just a touch above our normal high for this time of year. And we'll climb in on up into the mid-60s. We should stay mostly dry during daylight hours, but once we get past sunset and into dinner hour, we'll start to see some showers developing. This front that's heading our way, first thing that lifted northward this morning was this warm front. And we had a few sprinkles and light showers that developed along that front, mainly up near the Virginia line. And now you can see just in the last hour or so, the red squares there. That's a tornado watch, and we have several tornado warnings that are currently happening right now just south of Chicago. All of that is close to the low, and that low will continue to move northward. We're not looking at any severe storms here just to our west. We're not likely to see any severe weather as this front crosses our area. We might hear a rumble of thunder, but for the most part, this is just going to be a few scattered showers that roll through. Here's lunchtime, and you can see some cloud cover, maybe a sprinkle here or there. Definitely some thin spots in the clouds on and off this afternoon, so we'll see some holes hills there where we can see a little bit of blue. And then right about 7 or 8 o'clock, we start to see a little line of showers moving in. We'll continue to see a little bit of patchy rain up through around 11 or midnight. And then after that, we'll start to see some clearing. And we're in for a nice, bright, sunny day behind this front tomorrow. It is 66 right now in Fayetteville, 65 in Clinton, 54 in Roxborough and South Hill. So it's noticeably cooler up to the north, almost 10 degrees cooler up around the Virginia line. And we'll stay in the upper 50s there, mid-60s in the Triangle, and right around 70 in Southern Pines, Fayetteville, and Clinton. So big widespread in our temperatures today. Everybody warms up for tomorrow. We see a lot of warm air that's back to the west that slides in. So we're talking about 70s Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. And then over the weekend, we see cooler air moving in. This will be the third week in a row where it's been very warm during the week, and then our temperatures drop back to nearly normal over the weekend and end up much cooler. Today, we don't have much of a shot at a record 65, the high, and the record 82. Tomorrow, a little closer, but we probably won't hit it, with 77, the forecast, and 81, the record. But we'll have a better chance on Wednesday with a forecast high of 76 and the record at 78. We'll see how that temperature ends up working out. We are on track to have the warmest winter on record at RDU. And here's one of the reasons why. So far, we've had 10 days at 70 degrees or warmer. We won't see it today, but we'll probably add to it tomorrow, the last day of February. So we'll end up with 11, most likely. The record was 13 set back in 2017. But definitely looking at an extremely warm winter, warmest on record, and we'll probably end up hitting that. 77 for tomorrow, 76 Wednesday, 70s again Thursday and Friday, but it turns wetter on Thursday and Friday too. And Friday we'll have a front that comes through. We'll talk about how to plan around the rain for the end of the work week coming up.
And happening right now in the WREL Live Center, Wake Forest Power is responding to a major power outage right now affecting the southern part of town. They say about 1,000 customers in Wake Forest. In the southern part of Wake Forest are without power, including Cedar Branch, Gateway Commons, and surrounding neighborhoods. They say the outages here were caused by a construction crew cutting two electric feeder lines near the Calvin Jones Highway and NC-98 bypass. They just updated this. They say power is expected to be restored in about 40 minutes or so around 1 o'clock this afternoon.
Michelle, thanks. A state task force finds guns are killing more children. The report found a 200% increase in child gun deaths in the last 10 years. Ahead at 4, what the task force recommends lawmakers do about it.
Plus, did you know steel manufacturing creates 8 times more emissions than airplanes? Two Israel-based companies trying to change that. Their plans to set up technology in North Carolina. That story's ahead at 5. Amazon is aiming to get even more packages to you faster, and why your car insurance premium may be going up. Those are among today's business headlines with Maribel Aber.
Add car insurance to the list of things being hit by inflation. Premiums have jumped 13.7% nationwide over the past year. That's according to Bankrate.com. Drivers are now paying on average $2,014 a year for comprehensive auto insurance. That represents a 2.9% bite out of the average U.S. household income. The jump in premiums comes as the cost of everything from labor to repair parts has risen. Amazon is expanding same-day delivery service as it tries to get more packages to customers in less than a day. The company has opened about 45 smaller warehouses in the last few years. They're designed to get items ready for immediate delivery. Amazon may add 100 more sites in the next several years, according to the Wall Street Journal. Delivering from the facilities is costly, but Amazon is facing competition from Walmart and others in giving customers quick shipping options. Amazon charges Prime members $2.99 for the super fast option if the order is under $25. More than 1.2 million candles sold at Walmart are being recalled due to a fire hazard. The recalled items were sold under the name Mainstay 3-Wick Candles, made by Star Soap. They were sold exclusively at Walmart in a variety of Halloween and autumn-themed scents, with names like Mystic Fog and Pumpkin Spice. The wicks of the candles can burn too close to the side of the container, which would cause the glass to break. So far, there have been 12 reports of incidents from the issue. And those are your business headlines. I'm Maribel Aber at the NASDAQ market site.
Today, we could find out if Durham will continue to fund an organization meant to deter crime. Why some say it's not working. Plus,
the best advice I would give to white people is to get the hell away from black people.
Major fallout after the creator of a popular comic strip goes on a racist rant. the action newspapers across the nation are taking now. And here are your winning lottery numbers on your screen right now.
Happening right now in the WREL Live Center, we are staying on top of that code red lockdown at Star Academy in Lillington. Sky 5 still over the scene. We just got word from the school that that code red lockdown could lift within the hour. That is what we are hearing. But right now, they are still on code red lockdown for safety precautions involving a weapon on campus. That is what the school is telling us. They say this is a temporary lockdown. It could lift within the hour. That is the latest information we have. We are going to stay on top of this and bring you any additional information we receive both on air and online.
Thanks, Michelle. Today, future funding is up for debate for an anti-violence group that has received criticism from the community. WRL's Laura Levine is in Durham, where county commissioners are considering whether to continue to support Bull City United.
Over the past year, the Violence Interruption Program has really been able to expand its footprint across Durham. Right now, we are at one of its original locations right off of Fayetteville Street, Bull City United. Now, since the program launched in 2016, its budget has received around a five-fold increase between city and county funds. BCU is a community-based gun violence intervention program that aims to stop the cycle of shootings and retaliations through street outreach. The group includes former gang members. City Council recently approved $1 million for the program to expand from 2 to 4 key areas and to hire more staff. The county today will look at continuing its portion of funding of more than $935,000. Last year, a report showed that the group conducted about 2,000 conflict mediations. However, it has since received a lot of criticism from the community after one member received drug charges and another was killed from a targeted shooting.
We really don't know what they're doing to help solve this issue with this crime. And I mean, now with one was murdered, one was caught with a gun, one got caught with drugs, but you still want us to let our children, let them work with our kids?
So today we are going to hear directly from Durham County Commissioners about this topic, with that meeting beginning at 6 p.m. Laura Levine, WREL News, Durham.
U.S. agencies are split on their explanations for what started the COVID pandemic. A new report from the Energy Department this past weekend suggests a lab leak in China is the most likely explanation. But investigators labeled the report low confidence, meaning they're not 100% sure. Other agencies think the virus reached humans naturally. The former U.S. ambassador to China says knowing what actually happened will be important for the future.
If it came from an animal, we need to be prepared and we need to beef up our public health response to the next pandemic. So it is important for our scientists to get to the bottom of this.
The White House has not commented on the Department of Energy's report. People will soon be able to self-test for both flu and COVID-19 at one time without leaving their homes. The FDA approved the first over-the-counter home test that can detect both illnesses. You'll get the results 30 minutes after taking it. You don't need a doctor's prescription to get the test. The at-home test will also work to diagnose kids 2 years old and older.
Hundreds of newspapers across the nation are dropping the comic strip Dilbert. The move was prompted by racist comments made by the creator, Scott Adams. As NBC's Emily Ikeda reports, the comic is standing by his statements.
This morning, hundreds of newspapers are stripping their pages of the widely syndicated comic, Dilbert, after this live stream by its creator, Scott Adams.
So if you know, nearly half of all blacks are not okay with white people, according to this poll, not according to me, according to this poll, That's a hate group.
Adams referencing a recent poll during his YouTube show Wednesday and taking aim at black Americans who disagreed with the statement, "It's okay to be white," a hate slogan used by white supremacists, according to the Anti-Defamation League.
The best advice I would give to white people is to get the hell away from black people.
His rant igniting furor on social media. The once popular comic now dropped by a growing number of publications, including the New York Times and the Washington Post, denouncing his comments as racist and promoting segregation.
My reputation for the rest of my life is destroyed.
After a barrage of tweets and multiple live streams since the incident, Adams doubling down on his comments again on Sunday.
Including the cancellations, this was all predictable, and I knew it when I said it, and I was okay with it.
The 65-year-old says the media took his words out of context, and he was only advising people to avoid hate, now catching the attention of billionaire Elon Musk, who tweeted, "The media is racist."
Are we sticking with our ban on useless greetings?
Yes.
Just checking.
Despite his highly successful comic that briefly reached TV screens, Adams has been no stranger to controversy. Months ago, the San Francisco Chronicle reported it stopped carrying Dilbert after his work made fun of reparations for African Americans. Fellow cartoonist Darren Bell says publications should now meet the moment.
Newspapers have an opportunity right now to show who they want to talk to in this country, and I hope they think long and hard and pick the right ones.
That was Emily Aketa reporting. One media publisher released a statement noting that they support free speech, but when those ideas cross into hate speech, a line must be drawn.
Celebrating Black History Month continues in Raleigh. The Proud Black brand hosted an art exhibit and sale in honor Black History Month. The exhibit highlights the importance of Black culture, showcasing music, literature, science, and more. It also seeks to encourage the continued creation of new art and to honor Black History Month. Today, at the end of our 4 p.m. news, our Hidden History series takes us to remnants of one of the state's largest plantations, including dwellings where enslaved families lived. We'll learn their names and stories and hear from a woman whose ancestors were enslaved in Raleigh.
This afternoon, Howard University is celebrating something no other team can lay claim to. They are the only all-Black swim team and the only HBCU with a swim team that won their first conference championship in 34 years. The swimmers and coach say they're excited about making a change in the sport of swimming.
We firmly believe if you can see it, then you can achieve it. And these young men and women worked super hard day in and day out just because of that, because they know that there's very little representation out there.
Nicholas Askew, you just saw right there, was born and raised in Kinston, North Carolina, where he began multiple sports at a very early age. Askew left his hometown to study at Howard University. During his time as a dual sport student athlete, he broke several swimming records, served as a team captain, and became a six-time conference champion.
What a trailblazer. Is work burning you out? What people say is their top frustration with work that's prompting them to look for other opportunities.
Plus, it seems dieting backfires for a lot of people. Why they end up putting on weight when they're trying to lose it. If you see news happening or you'd like to share a story idea with us, you can click report it in the WRL News app.
A recent study is showing a rise in the number of people who say their job is leaving them feeling burned out. Ted Lindner takes a look at the data and what business professionals say needs to be done to curb the spike.
Does your job have you at your wit's end? Well, you may not be alone. A recent study from the organization Future Forum finds more than 40% of the global workforce is suffering from burnout, a new high up from the 38% who reported these feelings back in 2021. Researchers studied more than 10,000 full-time employees from several countries, including the U.S., U.K., and France. And data found more women than men were likely to say they were burned out, with people under 30 also more likely to cite exhaustion than their older colleagues. Rebecca Armstrong of Indiana University says there are three symptoms of burnout to look out for.
The first being exhaustion, which can be physical, mental, or emotional. The second is loss of professional efficacy, which can be real or imagined. In other words, you feel like you're not doing a good job, even though you may be churning out as much work as before. The third symptom is less talked about, but really important. It's a feeling of deep cynicism. The cynicism looks like a loss of a sense of purpose in your work.
But as companies continue bringing remote workers back into the office, the Future Forum study found people who were frustrated with a lack of work flexibility were 43% more likely to feel burned out compared to workers who were happy with their schedules.
Executives have to examine the corporate structure.
To help keep the rate of burnout from rising, business experts say managers need to see their workers as people first.
If we are only seeing them as a means to an end, and they will experience it, and the burnout will continue.
That was Ted Lindner reporting. If you feel like you're suffering from job burnout, here are a few suggestions to help you take action. Discuss specific concerns with your supervisor. Seek support through coworkers, friends, or loved ones. And if you have access to an employee assistance program, take advantage of the services. Engage in regular physical activity to help relieve stress and get some sleep. It restores well-being and protects your health.
We'll talk about a tough pill to swallow here. New research finds most people end up gaining weight instead of losing it as intended. Researchers surveyed 2,000 adults who have tried to lose weight in the last 5 years. Close to half ended up gaining more than 20 pounds. Analysts say that health issues, social media, even work environment are some of the reasons participants find it harder to lose weight. The survey also found 73% of Americans find it hard to maintain a weight loss regimen consistently.
We've established the fact that we're a different show, so I'm excited for people to even more than they did already kind of let go and let us stand on our own.
The cast of Bel Air talks about the second season of the smash hit series airing on Peacock. Plus, there's a new Guinness World Record holder, and his record has allowed him to discover the wonderful world of Disney. The incredible number of consecutive visits he made to the theme park that earned him that recognition. Bel Air is back. The streaming drama based on the TV sitcom The Fresh Prince of Bel Air enters its second season. It's focused on family, identity, and ambition. David Daniel has a look.
Will.
Get dressed and buckle up, fool.
Things are changing in season two of Bel Air.
The house just isn't the same when
Will's not home.
There's a real world outside.
What's going on, Will?
I just want to take care of myself.
I say that this season is a true coming of age story because Will is really trying to find his freedom and who he is and take hold of his story outside of the gates of Bel Air where people try to, like, you know, control his narrative.
I have anxiety trying to fit into this Bel Air bubble.
We all need to step up.
The thing that I'm most excited for is to be able to see that relationship between Carlton and Will. And how that dynamic is sort of more similar to the original, our predecessor show, than season one, because I know that's something that fans missed.
I was trying to be someone different. The BSU, the protests, all people see are my mistakes.
Never ever let anyone try to change you.
There's so many stories that can be told if you take the comedy out of it and just slow it down and live in the reality of what that story would be.
You got any Jeffrey wisdom?
None that you want to hear.
It's following the DNA of the original Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, how they would do it. Each episode would have their moments. And so we're just continuing that in a legacy, different way.
You love the old one. I think the new one will just enrich you more. It's like reading the diary entry of who these people actually are.
We've established the fact that we're a different show. So I'm excited for people to even more than they did already kind of let go and let us stand on our own and just enjoy the ride.
Can't go back to the way things were.
In Hollywood, I'm David Daniel.
Second season of the Bel Air ride is now streaming on Peacock.
Critics are calling that show one of the best shows on Peacock. So adding that to my long list of shows to watch. So many shows, so little time. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner in the WRS Severe Weather Center. Keeping an eye on the weather conditions. Cloudy and gray out there.
It is. And we're going to talk about how much rain we're going to see coming up. It looks like we're going to end up with a better chance for rain toward the end of the week. But we do have that chance of showers later on today. The rain that we see later on today is likely to be light. It'll probably be somewhere around a tenth of an inch or so. So we're not dealing with a whole lot of that. We take a live look here at our tower camera in Southeast Wake County, and you can see a lot of cloud cover. There are definitely some holes in the clouds out there right now. We see our warm front that's lifting up across the area. Along this front, or ahead of it earlier this morning, we ended up with a few light showers just really along the Virginia line. And then here comes our front, our cold front. That's producing some thunderstorms well to our north up around Indiana. That's going to stay to our north, and what we'll see is some scattered showers, possibly around rumble of thunder once we get to, say, 9 or 10 o'clock this evening, but nothing severe. Now, we are watching that chance for Friday. We'll talk more about that coming up. This is 5 o'clock. It does look like it should be a fairly dry evening commute, but mostly cloudy. Once we get toward the dinner hour, that's when we begin to see a few waves of showers coming through. At 9 o'clock, notice you can see the yellow and the oranges popping up. So that's where we might see or hear a rumble of thunder, see a little bit of lightning, but again, nothing that would be severe for us. After that, it moves on by and high pressure builds in, and that's going to bring us. A beautiful day for tomorrow. We'll begin to clear tonight. We'll see mostly sunny skies for tomorrow. Wednesday looks dry, and then we see our next round on Thursday. Fairly complicated pattern that develops. This is going to be Wednesday morning. Several low pressure systems bringing some snow to parts of the country, but of course, all of that stays north of us. We've seen a trace of snow so far this winter season. It is likely to turn much colder in March. We're going to take a look at that in a few minutes, but whether or not we get any snow, still probably doubtful. We're going to wake up Thursday morning to a good chance for rain, and then that slides on out. It looks drier for Thursday's evening commute. Then on Friday morning, it looks rather wet. This is going to be a beefier system. This one could bring us some strong to severe thunderstorms possibly during the evening on Friday. Right now, it looks like at 5 o'clock, the front would be in the mountains, and then we see that front swinging through during the evening hours, again around dinner time up to midnight or so. After that, we see our winds shifting, and that's what's going to allow the cooler air to filter in. How much rain are we talking about? Really looking at Thursday and Friday together, it's probably going to be an average of half an inch, but there'll be some places that see lighter amounts and some areas that could see heavier amounts. We'll keep our eye on that. Taking an early look at what we could see for our severe potential, possibly south and west of the triangle, we could end up with a better chance for some severe storms. Once we get into the second week of March through the end of the month, we have a good chance of below normal temperatures for the entire country. And of course, we've been looking at some very warm temperatures so far for the winter season, but of course we are looking at the potential for that to change. We check out what's happening out there. Temperatures are in the 70s all the way through Friday. Again, it looks like it'll be cooler for the weekend with temperatures in the 50s.
Elizabeth, thanks. A California man really likes hanging out in the happiest place on earth. Now he's going down in the history books. Find out how many consecutive visits he made to Disneyland to earn him a world record.
We wrap things up with a look at a few of the headlines we're following for you today. Right now, a school in Lillington is on code red lockdown. Authorities are investigating a situation involving a weapon on campus at Star Academy. We're working to learn what type of weapon that is, what the situation is there. We'll have any updates on WRL.com and on our evening news.
We've learned parts of Garner Magnet High School and at least four of its buses have been vandalized. The school system spokesperson says they're aware of the situation but have no further comment at this time. We've reached out to Garner police about this incident. We have not yet heard back.
Within the last 30 minutes, Raleigh police announced a man has been charged in connection to what officers called an accidental shooting at Crabtree Valley Mall. Over the weekend, police said a man accidentally shot himself inside the mall after a loud noise caused people to panic. Alan Osvaldo Hernandez is charged with discharging a firearm in city limits and carrying a concealed weapon. A man sets a world record by visiting the happiest place on earth. Jeff Reitz holds the Guinness World Record for the most consecutive visits to Disneyland. He visited the theme park in Anaheim, California, 2,995 times. It took him 8 years, 3 months, and 13 days to achieve that record. Reitz started visiting Disneyland when he was out of work using an annual pass gifted to him. On his 366th straight visit, Disney gave him a gift basket and proclamation certificates of honorary citizenship.
He needs to write a book and give us an insider's look at what to do at Disneyland because he knows. Yeah. Our pet of the day comes to us from Safe Haven for Cats. Cupie is a special girl who came to Safe Haven with a serious medical issue. She needed her left eye removed due to an infection. Since her surgery, she's doing great, full of energy and love. The 3-year-old domestic short hair is looking for her forever home. If you are interested, visit safehavenforcats.org.
Shaw University alumni are banding together to fight against the rezoning of the campus today at 4. Why they're calling for more transparency before the plans move another step forward.
We still have cloudy gray skies out there. We could see some rain after the evening commute, so keep your umbrellas handy.
No question. And NBC News Daily is next on WREL. Up next, your local news in 30 minutes.
You can get breaking news updates anytime with our WREL News app. We hope you have a great rest of your Monday.
Keep watching WREL News over the Air Channel 34 and Spectrum Channel 1257.